Right, this is the Cool Shit Podcast. Each week we round up the latest cool shit, helping us think different and keep inspired. What makes it in, what gets left out, and what gets challenged. Is it cool, is it shit?
Or does it cross the magic threshold and come bona fide, certified cool shit?
Welcome to the editor's meeting.
Welcome to the Cool Shit Podcast, episode 57.
Woo! 57.
I mean, it's not that great a number, guys. Chill out.
We've got to make it a good number.
My name is Gareth Carter. We have some familiar faces in the room and a returning face.
So exciting.
Kyra, back from your sabbatical around the world.
Indeed I am.
How are you?
I'm good.
Looking very fresh-faced.
Thank you. Glowing. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, you are glowing, innit?
Thank you very much.
Stop saying thank you.
Oh my God, what did I meant to say?
Talk about your last 6 months. Where have you been?
I've been to the Dominican Republic and it was really fun. I don't want to do this. I don't want to interview
you. Weren't you on a yacht in Croatia as well?
I was on a yacht in Croatia.
Yeah.
I was taking some photos. That was fun.
Downplaying everything. Like, I don't want to talk about it.
For what it's worth, I'm not that interested.
Well, okay, fair enough. James has asked me to move on, both with his voice, and he kind of went like that. He signaled.
Smooth.
Gina.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
I've not been here in ages, so
yeah,
I think I'm a bit shy.
Are you shy?
I think I'm shy, yeah.
Gina shy, never.
Yeah, I feel like I've not been on the podcast for a while, but I'm glad that I'm back. And I'm glad that I'm back with Kyra.
Yeah.
Because I thought she'd never be back again, but
she's real.
Here I am.
She exists.
She's in front of me.
Glowing. And someone that's positively not glowing.
Oh, I am glowing. I am glowing.
Never glows. James, the editor-in-chief of the Cool Shit newsletter, stroke podcast, aka The Little Chef. How are you?
I'm good. And I'll have you know that Kyra actually said I'm looking very healthy at the moment.
I think he's looking healthy.
It's because he's been drinking.
I've been drinking Himalayan salt water every morning.
But then it made your eyes dry and then it was a whole thing.
Made my eyes dry, yeah.
Your eyes dry.
And he didn't want to talk about your fucking chat.
Drinking salt water in the morning is infinitely more interesting than whatever she did the last 6 months.
It's just jealousy to me. It's all right.
Yeah, James is a jealous man. It's fine.
Through those dry eyes. What stories have you seen this week?
So am I talking to you or to her?
You can talk to any of us, James.
There's kind of blurred boundaries between who does what on this podcast, especially when I'm here.
Yeah.
So
that's what we're all about here, blurred boundaries.
Correct. Zach agency for you.
Well, we've said we want to devote more time this podcast to like what's occupying the cultural zeitgeist.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And currently, that's an awful lot of aliens. So I hope everyone has been across this story as much as I have, because Gareth, we've probably brought up aliens and space quite a lot in this podcast.
We have
got a good reason to. So last week, three former US military officials appeared in front of Congress to testify that they believe the US government knows a great deal more about UFOs, or UAPs as they're apparently known for some fucking reason.
They were rebranded because your favourite word, all the crackpots
were
using UFOs. Yeah. And they got together and were like, oh.
Wait, what is UAP?
So unidentified aerial phenomenon.
So basically, claims were made about the government being in possession of what one guy kept calling non-human biologics, as well as a load of pretty other wild shit. And this is like really the first time that UFOs, UAPs are publicly receiving mainstream attention from like the media and the legislative. So my question for you as a bit of a starting talking point is, do we think space is shaping our current cultural conversation?
It's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a new space race on, albeit it's a corporate space race, right? You've got SpaceX, you've got Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic. Do you think that with the James Webb telescope and more media attention about how vast our universe is, that it's allowed these conversations to come back into feeling like it's not just the crackpots that believe this stuff? Is that why they're able to get into Congress? I definitely think that the current space climate is shaping the way that we're looking at stuff at the moment.
Yeah, and I think that's partly even informed by like the crackpot as we're going to keep saying.
It's
become a slightly more kind of, I don't know, in vogue position because of things, probably because of like how popular the Joe Rogan podcast is, and he'll go on about stuff like this. And I think questioning conventional narratives, particularly after the last 2 or 3 years, and people think of kind of either government malfeasance or at least ineptitude, has brought a lot of things to the public's attention. And now they're, I guess, demanding some accountability, some attention to these things.
Have you watched any of the 11-hour hearing in Congress?
I've watched the highlights. Yeah, I wasn't sitting there for the full live stream. And it's interesting because the main witness was this guy, David Grosch, who used to work, I don't think he worked directly for the Pentagon, but was kind of Pentagon adjacent. And he was the one who claimed that it's absolutely certain that the US government are in possession of UFOs. And that even though he hasn't seen them personally, he's interviewed people who can say definitively that there are these non-human biologics which were in the spacecraft.
Yeah. So we watch enough movies, right? Where do aliens go to first in movies? They go to America, right? They blow up New York. I just think it's just a bit silly to think that of all the places that aliens are going to visit, they're going to be involved with like the US forces. It just seems a little bit...
But isn't that there's a load of US forces up there, so they're the ones who happen to have spotted them.
There's a load of forces up all over the place.
There's more China. US. There's more US though.
I just think that it's little neat.
But who stands to gain out of it? Because one example, and this is like probably one of the most famous videos, was the so-called Tic Tac video, which was captured by Commander David Fravor, who I think was like a US Air Force or Navy pilot, whatever.
Often on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, exactly. And his argument was like, I never wanted to be an alien guy. He's a military guy, and he's kind of been thrust into this life kind of unwillingly, or at least that's what he's giving off. So the question is, I think if these whistleblowers do come under as much kind of uncomfortable scrutiny as they're all claiming, then what's the incentive for just completely fabricating the whole thing other than, well, some weird plea for attention?
Probably because they're from the Midwest of America somewhere and they are...
I think you're unfairly profiling people there.
I think I am. But yeah. If you think about NASA for a start, they have real data going on at the moment. They have something called SETI, which is the search for intelligent life out in the universe. There's so many scientists that look into this. You've got the Fermi paradox, why are we alone? You've got the great filter, why can't we see anyone else? Do we get to a point where civilizations implode? Is there a reason for that? There's so much thinking going on about this, both government funded through NASA and with scientific bodies across the globe, essentially. I just don't think this is particularly grown up scientific research, right? Like, there is nothing here that's saying this is definitely aliens. People are jumping to the assumption straight away.
This was kind of going meta conspiratorial here. The fact that the government now seem strangely willing to talk about it makes me think that it probably isn't aliens, because why would they suddenly become such an open book? And what seems more likely is that it's some sort of military technology that the US currently don't have access to. But in the videos, if the videos are real, then again, that commander said the speed at which the thing goes, the G-force would throw a human being through their own arse in a second.
Yeah, but why does it necessarily have to have a human being in it? Come on, we live in an age of like autonomous
Yeah, weapons. No, it doesn't. And that's what, if it could be some kind of non-piloted drone, then I think that's probably greater cause for concern.
They need to look into it, for sure.
Particularly
yeah.
for the powers that be in the American military industrial complex in particular. Say that these videos are real and that they're not hiding anything and that they don't have a good explanation for it. They'll be looking at that thinking, well, someone else has got this. We need to fucking get this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's going
but
on
I'm
there.
Not, but I'm not sure why that would then be made so public, unless it's because they just didn't have a choice, because it's getting so much more public attention now.
That's what I mean. When you think about, say, the 60s space race, that really informed culture.
Sure, and
the
there's an interesting parallel, because obviously that was like in the background of the Cold War, and we're kind of slowly warming up to our own little Cold War here. So it's funny that those two things both seem to happen in parallel.
Well, I just think culturally, like the way people dress, David Bowie, Space Oddity, I just think that it's always in the sort of cultural vernacular, but sort of went away. Like when I was young in the 90s, you had the X-Files, you had people that were like wanting to believe in UFOs, and it was still that sort of hokey pokey looking alien with like a big head and all of that and crop circles and the rest of it. Now we're entering like a new phase of real people going to space, right? We have more access to information. That's why I think it's back in. And I think culturally, and interestingly for this podcast, it's shaping the way the products are being made, the way that we look at things. And so I think there's more leeway for us to think about these things and talk about them without feeling like a crackpot, right?
Yeah, sure. And that's kind of what I'm saying. If this is now kind of permeated the mainstream, that filters down through culture, and that's where it seeps into, I guess, the stuff that we do and even the stuff on this podcast. Like the amount of things that are like vaguely space-based, where it's like you can go up in a fucking hot air balloon to get into the stratosphere. They're sending the chain smokers into space.
I don't know like how many pieces of content I've watched with a product go to space now, but it's a lot.
Yeah, no,
it's
a lot. Exactly. So I think our field of vision as both kind of consumers and purveyors of content has shifted upwards slightly and broadened.
Okay, that story that governments are hiding aliens for us, that's been around since Roswell, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's been in the public and cultural vernacular. We've literally just done a campaign for Canterbury's speed boot, which is based all around that. So we had the sort of like idea that these boots are redacted information, they've got alien technology in them. And that language worked really well for that campaign, and it had really high engagement because I think we're kind of back there. We're kind of back in that spot at the moment. And it was really good to play around with that because these are sort of like cultural totems for us. Space is a cultural totem. Mm. And I do think we're in an interesting part of it. Kyra, space fan, do you feel that you're being culturally shaped in any way by space at the moment and the things that you're seeing? Or you've got like a bit of a space-agey look to the way you dress, a bit astronaut-y.
Do you think so? Oh, maybe, I guess so. Never really thought about it like that. But I don't know. I feel like it doesn't really affect my day-to-day space.
Not in the Dominican Republic, I suppose, yeah.
Junior, I'm guessing you don't give a shit about space.
Why do you think I don't give a shit about space?
I don't know. Do you?
No, I think I do.
It's because you hate AI.
Yeah, I kind of do hate AI. But if I was younger, I think this whole thing would have like shaped how I'm thinking and feeling towards things a bit more, because I feel like when you're little, you're kind of scared of the unknown and of aliens and things. But I feel like now, because there's so many like big technological advancements, we're kind of becoming a bit like not numb to
like
it,
like desensitized.
Yeah, almost desensitized to it. Like I'm just kind of like, okay, like there's another thing that's happening that seems advanced, and they think they've discovered something. Or
cool, that really shows how nutty the world is when you see aliens and you think, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's like a kind of, that was a trend on socials. That was literally a trend on socials. Like people have realized that the majority of us do not give a shit because we're kind of just like, oh, it's just like another thing.
I'm sorry, but like, look, I'm gonna have to stop you here, right? Yeah. If there was proof of intelligent civilizations out there, that would be a game changer for everything.
If this guy is telling the truth, then it's like the biggest thing that's ever happened in
but
the world.
Like
exactly,
we,
yeah, like ever, ever, ever,
we
right?
We already kind of, maybe, but maybe people have like a gut feeling that we already know this because it's like always been a thing, right?
Yeah, I thought this alien thing, I didn't think, like, oh my God, I was like, oh, yeah, of course aliens exist.
Yeah.
Like, it's not new news. Like, for me, like, it's not.
Maybe that's what it is then, because I said, why would the US government suddenly be willing to give attention to it? Maybe they're confident that people actually just don't really give a shit anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they do, because like I said, like, I kept seeing so many memes of like someone dressed up as an alien, like sitting on the subway with other people, and people not even like glancing
at this
alien.
That's not the same thing.
That's not the same as real aliens.
Oh my God, I'm sat next to an alien on the subway.
No one's looking at them because I'm sat next to a nutter. Do not make eye contact.
No, and then like the captions would be like us when actual aliens arrive at Earth, because like we're all so desensitized to the idea of that there is things out there. I just don't care. I don't give a shit.
You, like, so, can I just get that again? You don't give a shit if they found intelligent civilization somewhere in the universe.
I think it's amazing.
But not bothered. Not
bothered. Like, if it doesn't bother me, like as it doesn't affect me.
You can find something amazing and not give a shit about it.
I think it's interesting. And I'm like, it's almost like expected. I'm kind of waiting for it to happen. Which is maybe why now I'm not like blown away by these claims.
Interesting.
From this
like,
guy.
A little bit like a, yeah, it's an interesting documentary. Watched it.
What, like peanuts are actually legumes?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But also, this guy, this ex-Pentagon guy, is saying that he can't share what he saw, or this like non-human
bullshit
thing, because it would like, it's too sensitive for like,
well, no, he can't share it publicly. He said he'd happily provide them with all the information all after,
right,
the hearing. But it's funny, the Pentagon director Weedy actually took to LinkedIn to post on his own LinkedIn to flat out deny all of this guy's claims and like questioned his credibility, said like he never really worked for us, blah blah blah, blah. Which is funny enough what they did with Bob Lazar previously, who claimed that he worked at Area 51 and saw a lot of UFOs. They said, oh, he never really worked here. So now we're at least in a situation where, because this guy said it under oath as well, if it comes to light that he's lying, like he can face jail time for this. So the stakes are pretty high. So now we've got two people with completely contradictory stories, and one of them has to be telling the truth.
I just want to actually go back and say,
oh, have you had a rethink?
I don't.
Have you had a rethink?
I don't not give a shit. I do give a shit, and I do think it's cool. I'm just not like, it's not impacting my day to day. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not like, oh my God, everything could change.
Yeah, but
I think about other things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can, yeah. No, but I just think that like people don't necessarily believe what's happening this time, right? No one is actually really buying
into this.
I think quite a lot of people are buying into it.
Yeah, Joe Rogan fans.
My algorithm is just people saying, yep, this is true.
No, Kyra, I feel like you kind of get what I'm trying to say. We believe it, but like,
it's like you telling me, like, oh, there's fish in the sea. Like, yeah, of course there are. Of course there are. Like, of course there's aliens. Like, it's not like, oh my God, it's a new, like, crazy thing that we're hearing about.
Which is what I'm saying. If I was younger, I would
Wait, so your reaction isn't that this guy saying the craziest things ever is lying. It's that you're saying, yeah, and what?
Yeah, so you're thinking, yeah, like, yeah, oh, it's totally true. Aliens are here already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not.
That is a strange line of thought. I believe you, and I don't care.
Maybe not him. Oh, no, no, but I don't believe him. Like,
but in general, right?
Yeah, I feel like the evidence is a bit sus. If it was coming from anywhere other than the US, it would be a bit more believable. But like, it's just not like a shocking, like... Yeah.
Exactly. Like someone that was like, I don't know, like an actor on Emmerdale Farm or something like that.
Well, you trust some racist farmer more than an honourable man of the military.
Yes, I do. So, James, what's the next story then?
Well, as we've just seen, we disagree a lot on this podcast, but I think we can have a nice rare moment of unanimity here.
Okay.
So, are we all in agreement that KFC's chips are absolutely fucking
shit?
Yeah,
all chicken shop chips are soggy. Not in a good way. Not like in a like a fish and chip shop way.
They're like sweaty.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're always just, and there's too many of them.
Yeah.
Like, your box gets filled with
them. Claggy.
Yeah, no.
I don't think I've actually had KFC chips.
They're not very good.
But yeah, I can't compare.
They're soggy.
They're not the best. Okay.
What's happened?
Well, KFC Canada also agree, so they're killing off their old chips and replacing them with what they've optimistically called seasoned fries,
like
which should kind of be a given anyway. And they've launched this new recipe by live streaming a funeral for their old fries.
I really like this.
So the art direction on it was just really beautiful. It's got a casket filled with fries, but the branding on it's like very KFC, so it's just completely eye-catching.
Yeah, it's got like the ribbons of the fucking colonel's like bolo tie thing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's filled with like these manky old fries. It's a really eye-catching idea. Obviously, it's a rebrand, or they've redone their recipe.
Yes, new recipe, yeah.
I've worked with loads of different brands that have had a new recipe, and it's really difficult for them to explain that. I love what KFC's done here, because it's just gone for the jugular. Our chips were shit, essentially, which I think is just in line with the way that KFC talks, and I think it's just a really, really nice piece of content that I think everyone's on board with. You can't not be on board with it. Or can you not, James? Something did happen where people were apparently complaining.
Well, yeah, some people were upset because it's in poor taste to show a funeral for chips, apparently. But I'm not buying it. I think it's, as I said to you earlier, it's agents provocateurs. I think KFC have planted these to show, like, oh, aren't we really rebellious? Like, I don't think anyone actually has a problem with it.
But didn't they have a real hearse going
through
the
street? The thing they might have had a bit of an issue with is that they drove a hearse filled with chips through the streets of Toronto for the public to pay their final disrespect.
Gina, like, well, you keep on surprising me today. Is that a bit much?
That's
like, conservative Gina, like, oh God, that's a bit much. Oh my God. Oh God, the gall of it.
No, that is a little bit much.
It's what? It's fucking called marketing.
Yeah,
you're supposed to be
noise. I love the video. I think the campaign video is wicked, and I like that it's called Fry Funeral, and that they like live streamed this fake funeral. But
so they live streamed a eulogy, which is actually quite funny.
Yeah. Which is jokes. But driving through the streets with a hearse, that's, what if someone needed that?
What do you mean? There's other what? They're not like an emergency service.
No.
So my nan's just died. Get her as quick as you can.
They don't put you in one of those straight away. Gina, they wrap you in a fucking bag and throw you in a hospital first, in a morgue.
Yikes. Okay,
they're holding up traffic.
I just didn't really like that part.
Right.
I'm allowed to not like it.
No, you're not allowed to not like it.
I'm getting shouted at so much today.
Kyra?
I thought it was funny. I thought it was a good idea. I think there's something cool about like owning the shit things about your brand, and everyone says that KFC chips are shit, so I think that's pretty cool.
Apparently Canadians say it.
But I feel like everyone says it.
But I wonder why it's just Canada that have done this.
They've got their own. Yeah, exactly. This is their bright idea. It shows kind of good brand self-awareness and like social listening, because to be honest, actually, I don't even think KFC chips are like that bad. Sometimes they're really bad, but it's just something that people say, and then I think other people kind of parrot it. Like, for example, even if you've never had a KFC chip, then that's like, oh, KFC chips, oh, they're shit. And they've decided to obviously like lean into that reputation while expressing a bit of that personality, like you said. But then ultimately, because what they're all trying to do here is just draw attention to a new product launch in the most kind of eye-catching, shocking way possible.
I'll tell you what, like, that just reminded me when we talk about Canada there, what KFC do really, really well is local marketing. So they are communicating really well with their local marketing teams, because everyone does something that's really fun. So do you remember the Spanish horror film? Like, it was a 15-minute horror film, like a KFC horror film. There was like very British looking like art direction, like lip gloss a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there was the like juice or whatever it was, sauce couture
knitting it up with their local market. There'll be a global team overseeing it. Like, it's cohesive. They're thinking about
It's cohesive, but it seems that each area are given quite a lot of creative leeway to actually flap their wings.
But they do it though, do you know what I mean? Like, seeing that hearse versus the Spanish horror film versus the lip gloss in the UK, I'm not like, oh God, that's like completely out of line with what the other person's done. It's like it's exploring similar territory. territories that are really good. I think KFC are always knocking it out of the park.
Yeah, we used to give Burger King quite a lot of attention. It's been more KFC lately.
We did have a few games.
Like with Burger King, it's crown. Not quite as cohesive. I do like Burger King stuff, but it's not, I don't know, it doesn't seem as tied together.
We talk about fast food campaigns quite a lot in here though. Even McDonald's gets brought up a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know how many ingredients are in McDonald's fries?
How many?
19.
That's not good.
All the seasoning, no? Actually, there isn't any seasoning.
It's salt, it should be potato oil, maize, tallow, juice. And salt.
Pardon?
What shit they've got in there, who knows? When it starts with like words that I can't pronounce.
They've got something called natural
beef
flavour, which I feel like has been named ironically because it's like hydrogenized milk or something.
Yeah.
Very natural.
Well, we all like this campaign.
We do.
Yeah.
Anyone not like it? Say now. You don't like all of it. The Hearst bit was a bit much, guys.
I like most of it though, so it's fine.
Okay, Cairo, what have you got?
Okay, I have something that me and Gina are planning to go to in the next couple of weeks.
So we'll report back.
Yeah, we're very excited. So for those of you who don't know, Morley's is an iconic South London chicken shop, and they have partnered with Heinz to create a month-long pop-up in a very popular hotel called The Standard. And they have a menu that, this bit I'm not 100% sure about this, so they combine fried chicken with really like
high-end
like delicacies. So you'll have like drumsticks with caviar and like truffle mayo. I don't quite get that, but I think that
caviar's just gross, full stop.
I like caviar.
No.
Yeah, but with fried chicken.
You would.
Like, sure, but
Mummy, I want caviar breakfast. Caviar on toast now, mummy.
But what, no, Gareth, what you probably won't understand is I have quite a refined palate in a way that you probably don't.
But yeah, also on their menu, they've got chicken and waffles. They've got for dessert, caramelised apple
donuts. Are they taking it up? Like, from the pictures, it looks like that drumstick or whatever looks better than a KFC drumstick. Are they premium?
Yeah,
are they taking it to a
chicken.
New premium level?
Yeah.
Because they've got a sauce as well. That's
Morley's,
like,
it's not KFC.
Because of the product.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, we're continuing with fried chicken.
Yeah, we've gone from chicken to chicken.
If this is to like celebrate the launch of the sauce, right, that they've got in collaboration with Heinz, and then they're doing a pop-up to support that.
So it's all for the sauce? I thought it was...
Yeah, it's for the sauce.
It's a
Heinz-Morley like combo sauce.
Fried chicken sauce, which sounds bad.
Yeah, and they're like, there's some bullshit in there, like the Heinz food scientist.
The sauce scientist.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I haven't seen that on a LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, so pretty cool. But I just don't quite understand the whole like high-end bit of it. Like,
because it's a posh hotel.
Because it's at the Standard, isn't it? So I guess maybe that's why.
It's much fancier than the name would imply.
But no, but I'm totally with you. Like, Morley's is a down-to-earth fucking South London chicken shop, right? So why, when that gets combined with Heinz, like in an everyman product, does it suddenly equal the Standard Hotel?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Doesn't really make sense.
That's the bit that I don't quite get.
We're going anyway.
Yeah, we're going anyway.
We're
going
to
have frozen marks, which we like. Well, you don't like frozen marg, but you like
a marg. No, I'll still drink it.
You just leave it for a while.
Yeah, let it melt.
Yeah.
I quite like the... Did you see the pictures for the campaign?
Yeah, I did. Like, I mean, look,
I really like that.
It all looks nice.
Chris would be losing his fucking mind right now if
Chris
he was here.
Be.
He loves Morley's.
I just don't know who that's for. Like, okay, so Morley's, it's not the same consumer that's going to be going to that. It doesn't feel like it's like... I can understand if Morley's mixed with a product that was higher end.
Do you know?
I understand. Okay,
yeah.
I understand what it's doing there. I could understand like some streetwear with some Morley's branding on it. Yeah, okay, I get that.
I think the issue isn't Morley's and Heinz. The issue is the pop-up at the Standard. Where does that link into it?
I think the thing is with...
Because it's going to be like grabbing in you two ladies, high-end ladies, clearly.
Of course.
As opposed to like people that are in Morley's like day in, day out, which isn't the same person that's going to go to the Standard.
I kind of disagree because I think with Morley's now, it's become so iconic of South London that there's a bit of... And particularly with like Brixton, for example, which has become a fucking hipster haven. I think there's an element of almost stolen valour from like kind of posh kids who want to go to Morley's because it's like a South London thing and you want to be called boss by some guy.
In the same way
as like posh kids are sort of like dressing in dirty trackies and drinking Stella sort of thing and wearing Sovereign Ring.
Gina.
Hello.
Go on then.
So...
To celebrate Pride in Madrid, VMLY&R, which is a big creative agency, collaborated with a NGO in Spain called Imagina. What does that say?
Imagina.
Is that what it is? What, Imagina? Imagina. Imagina Mass.
I'm going to guess that Imagina Mass means imagine more.
God, you've got a bilingual king in here. All that Duolingo paid off. So basically what they were doing to work with this kind of like sexual health non-governmental organisation, it was all about raising awareness around STI testing. Very important, guys. Stay safe out there. So during Pride celebrations, what happened was you wee on the pavement and the advert appears and the advert is like telling you to like
get stop tested. Weeing on the fucking street.
No, it's actually encouraging you to wee on the street and say get tested. So the paper.
This is a weird ass campaign.
It's piss activated advertising.
It is. That's what it is, and it's called a pee board. The pee board campaign encourages people to go to the company's Instagram page for information about sexually transmitted diseases.
Can I just clarify something? Is it like a pop up place where you're supposed to pee, as opposed to let's just put it on randomly on the street and hope someone pees over here?
No, it's randomly on the street.
It's randomly on the street. Pride.
I believe Madrid is one of the most pissed on cities in the world.
That would stink.
Anyway, so pee boards is a campaign apparently that combines creativity and innovation to raise awareness. And the way, like I said, the way they're raising awareness is by you're weeing on these water repellent adverts that then kind of like appear and tell you check out our Instagram page for information on STIs.
I'm a bit disgusted about this story in the same way you were disgusted about the Hearst. I'm like
you don't like it.
Well, no, it's just like I'm kind of shocked here that so many people pee on the fucking street during Madrid Pride that they're like, you know what, stick this invisible advert anywhere, it'll be peed on sooner or later. Fucking hell,
you gotta piss somewhere.
Go on, Kyra.
I thought it was cool when we thought it was what we thought it
so
was.
So I thought you wee on it and it tells you if you have an STI.
Congrats. You have AIDS.
Chlamydia, get that scene too.
Because you can get tested from urine samples, obviously.
Yeah, that would be a lot more cool.
Which is then what was my thinking before is like, oh, that's going to spread it. But now I've just realised, maybe I need to wee on this and get some information about STI testing.
And whatever it is, it's clearly got to your brain.
Yeah.
And only guys can use it, I guess, because you're not going to be pulling your
knickers
down.
You can pee on the street as well.
Not pulling my knickers down in front of everyone.
That's a standard Saturday night.
God, all the prunes on this podcast this week.
I know, right?
But I like that it's called pee boards.
Okay. Wow. James, what do you make of that one?
There's a video to go with it as well.
Shall we watch it?
Yeah, only 70% of young people use condoms in all their sexual experiences. So in order to tackle that, there's some gonorrhea. Syphilis. Chlamydia in some like funky writing, and it's showing like some nice scenes of Madrid, and it's saying
pee boards raising awareness about STIs. The most common STIs can be easily detected with just a simple urine test.
See, so just showing loads of stock, really rubbish stock images of people weeing on the street. But I do like that it's linked that Madrid is the most weed on city with that.
I don't think they're stock images.
I think the message is great. Like, I think more people need to be tested. I think more people need to be aware of their sexual health. But I just think that is like a bad idea that's like designed to win awards by whoever came up with it. It's not practical and won't work.
I don't think anyone that pees on the street and sees the ad will then go on Instagram and be like, let me follow them, you know?
And let me like look into...
Unless you're fucking jet washing the street. Like, you pee in a very small area. Like, it's not going to work. James.
Well, this puts me in a difficult situation.
Why is that?
Because I agree with everything that you've just said, but I've already written cool shit and it's in there and I don't have time to do anything about it. Yeah, I was probably, I guess, suckered in by the novelty of piss-based advertising, I think.
It's new.
I saw that and I thought, that's new and by God, I like it. Yeah,
There's been other piss-based advertising, like in the urinals. Like, you can play football in the urinals,
sure, but no,
like,
but
with the pee balls, I think they're called, and like, you can, like, and that
Yeah, no, I've seen that, yeah.
Maybe pretty gross.
Are you saying that's gross? You just backed a story about the most peed on city in the world, yeah. And you thought, and like...
That's what I like about it, though.
I think it's similar to KFC. They're taking
a
seemingly negative accolade and they're flipping it into
the
positive.
They're doing something with it. They're really clutching at straws with this particular thing, but they're like, okay, we're weed on all the time. How can we make us
also,
being weed on a good thing?
I'm now thinking, actually, considering they're encouraging like expedient testing, the fact that Pride was about a month ago and they've only just posted this isn't exactly great.
No, this story stinks. Wherever
you, wherever you got at Pride is a real problem by now.
All right, James, I'm not going to ask you which stories are going in because you've clearly made your mind up already.
I might have some work to do when I get home tonight.
Was there anything, though, that caught your eye out of what's been talked about so far today?
I'm just attracted to the piss. The KFC fries, it's so rare that we're unanimous on this podcast, so I think that is cause for celebration.
Yeah. No, I'm not sure about the Morley's Heinz sauce. What are you about you?
I'm kind of on board with the Morley Heinz sauce. I agree the connection of making it suddenly fine dining-y is a bit muddied. But I think the sauce alone, which is what the product actually is, I can imagine that being incredibly popular. The kind of chicken shop special sauce is something that's quite hard to replicate. So I'm kind of on board with that. If that's their attention-grabbing way of launching it, then I think it works. And also, even though you say it's not obvious who it's for, 50% of this podcast already said that they want to go. So I can still imagine it being a fairly popular experience because Morley's has quite a lot of cultural cachet now.
Right, so the gentrified hipsters are onto Morley's.
That's what I'm saying,
that's
yeah.
What you're saying.
Stolen valor.
All right, cool. Kyra, it's lovely to have you back.
Great to be back.
We will see you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.